And it is the biggest holiday of the year for everybody, I guess. You know, worldwide, it is. It's more made of Christmas than any other holiday. But we're going to talk about it a little bit this morning, maybe. We'll see how we can get along here. But I want to read to you a verse. You know, you really probably don't even need to turn there because you hear it so many times, especially this time of the year. You won't have to turn there. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Bible said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And we know that means God with us. And so that's a pretty clear prophecy right there, isn't it? Are you kidding? It's not mysterious. It's not dark. It's not... You don't have to decode it or interpret it or try to figure it out what he's talking about. He's real plain and straightforward with it. "Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And I shall call his name Emmanuel." All right. I want to read in Matthew, first chapter, verse 18. If you want to turn there, I'm going to read quite a little bit here, so you might want to follow along. Again, it's the story of the birth of Christ, so it's familiar to you. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." He was just a good man. Let me read. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.'" Reference back to the first verse we read, see. John chapter 1 verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Again in Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 through 8. Bible says this, it's talking about Christ, "who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So, there's another account of the birth of Christ. I don't want to spend too much time on this. I like to go to the verse in John chapter 1 at Christmas time about the fact that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we take it for granted. We do. The whole world takes it for granted. We don't really understand what a blessing it is that God sent his son into this world, that God was made flesh and dwelt among men. He did it. There's no need to do a lot of thinking about what if he had not come, but what if he hadn't came? I mean, we just need to be grateful and thankful for the fact that he did, because we've all grown up knowing that he came, and therefore we have hope. The whole world, there is a hope available for them. He came so that every man might be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus blood atoned for the sin of all men. It's able to, I mean, it's sufficient for all men. So all men have hope. There is a hope. You don't have to die and go to hell. And you don't have to live a miserable, wretched life of sin here in this world and die without hope. There is hope. You just have to come to Him. Now, but you know, there's always the option in front of us to run to Him for salvation or help in trouble. And isn't that what everybody does? Don't they run to Him when they're in trouble? Sure they do. Even people that say they're atheists and don't believe in Him and all of that, don't even believe He exists, well, they'll cry out to Him when it gets bad enough and they get in enough danger. We never consider what life would be like if He hadn't came. Even the lost, you know, what would it be like if He hadn't come for them? Now, we here this morning, we all claim to be His children and we are thankful for Him and all of that. And our life has been changed drastically because He came and because He saved us and all of that. But, you know, even the lost world benefits greatly from the fact that Jesus came. They don't even know it. They don't acknowledge it. They don't appreciate it. And they abuse it greatly. But I mean, this world, they may not like churches, but if there weren't any churches, they would like it a whole lot less, let me tell you. They want to blame the churches for the problems. They want to accuse the churches of unrighteousness. How hypocritical is that? The wicked world, as wicked and dark and evil as they are, and laid a charge evil at the door of the church. Come on. What if there weren't any churches? I know there. It's a mess. Everybody knows it's a mess. But the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And Jesus bought the church with His blood. And it's a big deal with Jesus, the church is. And it's the greatest blessing the world has ever had since the first revolution it made after God created. This is the church is the greatest blessing the world ever had. And if Jesus hadn't come, there would be no churches, not one. There wouldn't be one to go to. There wouldn't be one that ever done anything to help anybody, to show the truth, to preach the truth, to proclaim it to anybody. There'd be none. There'd be no refuge. There'd be no works that the church has done through the years. I mean, I don't know how many of you in this generation are aware of it, but the schools and the hospitals and the orphanages and the missions, who did that? Some government somewhere? No. Some atheist organization? Some Eagles Club or anything like that? No. No, that's not who did those things. Never has been, still isn't. Who did it? The churches are the ones. That's where the hospitals, the college, the real colleges, the education. You know, Harvard was started as a seminary to train preachers. Yale was too. Princeton was too. Yes, those are Ivy League colleges. You go to England, the same thing. Everything, all of the education was began by the church, and the world has stolen it away. The world has stolen a lot of stuff. I was thinking on this morning, I'll probably get ahead of myself a little bit here, but it wasn't the Grinch who stole Christmas, it was the world. Yeah. Yep, there'd never be no hope in the world at all, in life or in death, if Jesus hadn't come. And there'd really be no way. There'd be no truth. There'd be no life. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you ever think about that? A lot of people don't know of the way, and they don't know of the truth, and they don't know of the life, but it is there. It's available for them, and they can find it when they find Jesus. There is an answer. And there are answers to the troubles of life and the problems of life and the perplexities of life. There is an answer. You just got to find Him. You got to come to Him. But if He hadn't come, there really would not be. A lot of the people in the world, most of them, say there is no hope and there is no way. Oh, yes, there is. You just don't know about it. But if He hadn't come, there really wouldn't be any way. There would be nowhere to go. You think of the music and stuff. We sing these songs this morning. And there wouldn't be any songs of joy. There'd be no songs of any kind of victory. The only kind of music that the world would have would be the songs of injustice and misery and sorrow and death. Like, kind of like country music, you know. That's all there would be. There wouldn't be any songs of hope and joy and victory and blessing. Nothing like that. There'd be no New Testament. There'd be, with its testimony of His coming. We just read Seth talking Sunday school in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. About Elizabeth. And help me. Zechariah and Simeon. And all of the hope and the testimony of the hope that had arrived on the earth when Jesus came. We wouldn't have any of that. We wouldn't have any testimony that He ever came. But we've got it. You know, the Bible didn't end at Malachi with those bleak words at the end. No, the New Testament, the New Covenant, the new, better promises and better sacrifices. We wouldn't have any of that if He hadn't come. Jesus did so much more than we even can begin to comprehend in this life. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You know, all these modern Christians that preach this hopeless religion that there's no deliverance from sin, they would be right. But I know better. Jesus came. And He delivered us from this. His name meant God with us. The angel told Joseph, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall deliver His people from their sin. Yes. And I believe that's what He done. John chapter 14 and verse 1 through 3, we'd have never heard this. I thought up there yesterday at the funeral, I heard one of them quoted this verse. But I just thought about it. Those words just kind of stuck with me when Jesus said to His disciples, they were all troubled. He said, let not your heart be troubled. I mean, if that won't comfort your heart in trouble, I don't know. There's no hope for you. There is no comfort for you. If you can't hear Jesus Himself say to you, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And I go, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. It's true. And He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Never would have heard all that. Now let me just say a few things here. Christmas is a time for us to celebrate and remember the fact that He came. That's what it's about. Jesus came. That's the wonder of it all. That babe in a manger and all of that. The Creator and the King of all things laid aside His divinity and departed from His pure and heavenly surroundings and stepped down into the ghetto of the universe. Think about it. That's really what happened. He laid aside His deity, His divinity. He did. He became flesh. He was made flesh. Now, Jesus was God. I'm not saying that Jesus wasn't God. He laid aside His deity to become a man. No, He was God and man in one person. He was the Son of God and He was the Son of man, both in one body. You say, how can that be? Well, you'll never figure that out trying to figure it out in your human mind and coming to a human logical conclusion. It's just the fact. The Word, which is Him. The Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's what happened. He came to this earth and He was made into a man. Who wept, we read about last night. Who suffered pain and hunger and heartache. And at different times his soul was troubled. And he groaned in his spirit. He suffered. He was tempted in all points, like as we are. He did that. And he had to leave his perfect environment to do that. He came to the slums of the creation, where sin had wrecked its destruction and polluted every creature. And it's a great sacrifice, we think, for one of us to go as a missionary to some poor country where it stinks and they're dirty and they're naked and they're filthy and they're living and everything else. That's a great sacrifice to us. Jesus did it. He did it for us. And on a much greater scale than we can even think about in missions here on earth. He left the praises of the angels and the hosts of heaven to be called a blasphemer and to be spit upon and to be smitten and mocked and called everything in the world a glutton and a drunkard and to suffer the shame. Yeah, he did that. That's what we ought to be thinking about here at Christmas time. I thought about Zachariah and Elizabeth there a while ago. They were old and well stricken in age when they had this child. Well, John didn't live very long, you said. And wasn't that just shows you the goodness of God. Maybe they were already gone when John was murdered by that wicked woman. And they didn't have to bear it. He left perfect peace for the pain of hunger and thorns and fists and nails. And he left his throne of honor to be spit upon and shamed and lied about. He left his throne, and Christmas ought to be a spiritual time for us. And if it isn't, we're not doing it right. It ought to be a spiritual time. It ought to be a time of pondering and reflecting and remembering that Jesus came and why he came and what he did and what God did by sending him. And if we get carried away in this worldly atmosphere of the Christmas spirit, we're doing something that's not pleasing to God. We got to focus on Christ, God's gift to us, and not on the gifts we give to each other. In fact, let me just tell you this right now. And I know, I might as well talk to a stump probably, but I'm going to say it anyway. The more we forego the gift given and leave it off, I'm telling you, the more spiritual Christmas can be for us. The more we just leave that out of it. That ain't what we need. You know, if we're a true Christian, we got to decide at some point to withdraw from this annual worldly, ungodly celebration of selfishness and idolatry and worship Jesus instead. Because that's what it is. You know, I know. I mean, talking to people about Christmas is like talking to the people in Halloween, you know, about the church people at Halloween. You know, they get mad and up on their high horse, and people do the same thing about Christmas. They don't even know what it's about. And they say they do. They'll say, it's about Jesus. But it ain't about Jesus to them. It's about lights. And it's about gifts. And what do you want for Christmas? What are you getting for Christmas? And it's about Santa Claus. And it's about the Christmas music. And it's about creating this atmosphere from the 1st of November until the New Year's, where you got a different kind of music and you got a different kind of spirit and you got all of this fantasy that you build up. Right. And it's of the world. It's not of God. It's idolatrous. That's right. Now, we can still celebrate the birth of Christ and worship in the right way while abstaining from this Christmas spirit that's of the world and not of God. I'm not for just trying to ignore the time of year it is, and we know he wasn't born in December. I've heard that argument for years and years, and I know that. But that's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. We don't know what day he was born. Nobody does. And so December the 25th is as good a day as any to celebrate the birth of Christ. But I'm just saying, you know, I don't believe in just trying to ignore it and pretending that it don't exist while the whole world celebrates Christmas. We can celebrate Christmas in a right way while everybody else runs to their idols. We don't have to. If we're caught up and excited about Christmas music and Christmas decorations and all, and see, I know that. I mean, I hear it from the smart alecks on social media every year. They want to play their Christmas music starting in October or September or whenever, you know, and everybody, boo on everybody that says you oughtn't to do that. Yeah, it's just like everything else. If you don't like the sodomites, boo on you, you're out. If you don't like what we're doing, you're out. Well, I don't like what everybody's doing about Christmas or anything else. And I don't think it's right. And I'm not going to participate like that. So if we're caught up and excited about all this stuff, the decorations and the lights, and all this stuff that our modern pop culture has somehow morphed Christmas into, we are worshiping idols with them. And it's not pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to God when we do that. Now, I'm telling you, I've thought about it, and we made mention the other day, some of us were talking about it, but, you know, my great-great-grandpa never knew, Jingle Bells, he didn't know what that was. Jingle Bell Rock, none of that. None of this modern Christmas, white Christmas, he didn't ever hear that. Had nothing to do with Christmas. None of what everybody thinks is Christmas now even existed before this modern pop culture. So why do you think that's Christmas? Why do you think that's necessary? Why do you think that Christmas ain't Christmas if you ain't got all that? Why can't you have Christmas simple? I saw the other day, and I mentioned it the other day too, but I saw a little meme and it said the first Christmas was very simple. It's okay if yours is too. It is okay if yours is too. It is okay to sit at home with your family and remember that God sent His Son to die and to redeem man from his sin. The most wonderful thing that ever happened. It's okay to sit at home and praise God about it instead of revelry and all of the stuff that the world's doing that they blaspheme and pollute everything to do with God. And we oughtn't want to have any part of it. You know, they'll make Jesus a sodomite on Netflix and everybody will cancel their account. But they blaspheme Jesus at Christmas time by making it into an idolatrous feast and party. And we jump in right in with them. It's a true indicator of how much the world has a foothold in our hearts. How much we just can't say no to. We just can't turn loose of. And you don't have to be one of these negative naysayers that's just down on everybody. And that ain't what I'm talking about. Just let them go. You ain't going to do nothing about them anyway. Remember what it's about. And celebrate the birth of Christ. But not like the world does. Simple as that. Now, Christmas is a time to celebrate the whole life and the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming to earth. It's not just a babe in a manger, but he came as our Savior who's coming back. Let's celebrate the whole picture. We're celebrating not just the beginning of his life, but his whole life at Christmas time. The message that the angels brought to the shepherds that night was about what he was going to do, not so much about what just happened. You know, Maddie just stood up here and quoted that whole Christmas story. That's what it was all about. You know, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Well, it was announcing his birth, but what was he come to do? That's what the angels talked about. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. And the angels said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Matthew 1, 20 through 21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. I read this a while ago, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The significance wasn't his birth, it was what he was born to do, what he came to accomplish, the reason that he was being born. Christmas is about the fact that Jesus came to show us the Father. Wait a minute, let me back up just here a minute. I've just got some things I'd rather say about that too. You know, every child that's born, we rejoice. We were talking about it coming home from the funeral yesterday. It's such a sad thing when somebody dies, but the Bible says better the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. A little child's born and we don't know what lies ahead for them. We don't know what they're doing here, what they're going to do here. But this one, there were some people who knew. Yeah. And it was announced by the heavenly host what he was here to do, what he was going to do, who he was, why he was here, what his life was going to be about. And that's what stands out about the birth of Christ, is that these people knew what he was here for. They knew who this child was. Whew, mercy. I thought about a while ago, I preached here a while back on David when Samuel came and the Lord said unto Samuel, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Well, that's the same thing the Holy Ghost said to Simeon. And the same thing that he told Zechariah. And this is he. This is him. And then John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he. It would be a whole lot different if we knew when a child was born here what they were going to amount to. Well, this one we did. This one we did. Now, Christmas is about the fact that Jesus came to show us the Father. In John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus came to show us the Father. John 12, verse 45, and he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Jesus said that. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. Says Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. Why did he come? Why was he born? So we could know who God was. So we could see God. So we could see him. See what he's like. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory. And the express image of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ is the express image of his person, the Father. So he said to the disciples, he that has seen me, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why did Jesus come? So we could know God. So we could know him. He came to manifest to us the heart of God. You seen Jesus, you seen the Father. Don't try to make them two separate things that are opposed to one another somehow. You know that God the Father's against us, but Jesus is for us, so we got it made because he's got a lot of influence with the Father. That's the false gospel junk that's preached around nowadays. No, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And that's what he meant to. And he said it more than once. And not my will, but thine be done, he said. Jesus is in total agreement with the Father. And the Father's in total agreement with Jesus. They are one. And so there's nothing opposed in them. Jesus came to show us what God's like. He came to reconcile man to himself. God had to reveal himself in order to do that. In the flesh. So that man could know him in truth and what he's really like. I saw somebody said, if God's real, why don't he just come down here and show himself? He has. What do you mean? He has. It happened 2,000 years ago. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. His name meant God with us. I find it really fascinating in a way that the biggest holiday worldwide is Christmas. In a world that's upside down, that hates God with a passionate hatred, and they still mark their time, the calendar works from the point of his birth. They're going to have to change something big to stop it. It means in the year of our Lord. And they write it every day on their checks and on their documents and everything they sign. They mark time, but from his birth. Everything is reckoned from him. And yet the world is still raising their fist against him. And like the one you seen in the picture that had the sign in the protest, and it said, if Jesus comes back, kill him again. And that joker can't even tell what day it is without reckoning it from the birth of Christ. In our see here. It was necessary for God to reveal himself to man because man had developed a very wrong idea of God and God's heart toward man and what he requires of man. And even though Jesus has come, see, that's the church's charge, is to preach to the world that Jesus Christ is come. The Son of God is come. But it's a testimony to the failure, if you will, of the church, that so much of the world still lies in darkness and they don't know God. They still have these false ideas of God and what he's like. Even though they can look to Jesus Christ and see the express image of his person. We have the four gospels. We have the entire Bible that talks about him, but we've got the four gospels that are a lot of it his very words that he spoke and how he dealt with sinners of every sort. And how he dealt with wicked religious people. We see how he interacted with people all the time that he lived on this earth. And so we know from that what God, what his heart is toward man. To that adulterous woman, he said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. He did things that really, really... I don't want to say the kind of words I'm thinking of here, but it really turned these religious zealots upside down when he did things like that. When he healed on the Sabbath day, when he touched a leper, when he would sit down and eat with publicans and sinners. Yep. They chided him for it. They insulted him for it. They slandered him about it. But he was just showing what God is really about and what God wants from man and what God feels toward man. Jesus showed us by the way he lived and the way he dealt with him. Even at his birth, the emphasis wasn't on what was going on right then, but what he was going to do in his life. So now more than 2,000 years later, we ought to be celebrating what he's done. See, because that's all past. The night he was born, his life on earth was still in front of him. It was what he was going to do. Well, he's done it. We're way on the other side of it. We've seen what he done. We've seen what the apostles done. We've seen what the church has done through the last 2,000 years. And we've seen what he's done in our own lives. So we ought to be celebrating what he's done at Christmas time. Much more than just the fact that he was born in a manger. Because there was no room in the inn. I got a child's version of that the other night. We ought to guard it jealously and not let the world pollute this most special time of the year with worldly foolishness and lies and selfishness and revelry. And listen to me, and I'm going to quit. But instead of gifts made of worldly stuff, meant to satisfy covetousness. What do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? I've always hated that. To me, that just kind of takes away from the gift given. I mean, the whole purpose of it all. Well, I want this. And then you buy it for him. What in the world? That's just playing covetousness. And feeding it. But let me tell you something. Instead of gifts of worldly stuff and made to satisfy covetousness and lust, we should give the gift of love and fellowship and honor and commitment to one another. That would truly be pleasing to God, because that's why Jesus came. That's why he came. The whole thing about God and what he's desired toward man is that you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. And so, you know, giving things just because it's a day when you're supposed to give things, that's not, that doesn't prove love, it doesn't show love, it does not. You go to a nursing home, or a lot of different places today, or on Christmas Day. And there's not much that those people want, is there, Esther? I mean, do they all have some gadget they want, or some new thing, or... Nah, they don't want nothing except somebody to just come and see them. They would be much more blessed by a little of your time and fellowship and honor than they would by some candy bar or bag of candy or thing or gadget or gift that you try to give them, throw it at them and run. The whole world's messed up on that. They think the way to win their children's love is buy them things, and they'll hate you for that. They'll grow up and hate your guts. Give them yourself. If you want to give a gift this Christmas, it counts. Give yourself. Give your time. Give your love. Your fellowship. Give some honor to other people. Well, that's what it's about. Amen. All right. That's all I'm going to say. Now, everybody can take it and make what you want out of it. I believe it's true. Really do. Say, well, just because you're getting old, and when the old people get old, then they lose all their interest in Christmas trees and stuff. And no, I don't think that's it at all. I don't think I've got any less interest in Christmas trees now than I ever did. It wouldn't have bothered me 30 years ago if there wasn't one. That ain't what Christmas is to me. It just ain't, it ain't, it ain't. And I can celebrate Christmas and be blessed without it. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's stand.